morning, everybody. Welcome to episode 78. 78. Can you believe it?
That's a lot.
That is a lot of wine. That's a lot of wine.
That is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not enough somehow, though.
And we haven't dumped all that much down the drain, really.
No. I'm proud of us.
I mean, if we were talking like in body weight, how much of our body weight do you think we've drank in wine doing this episode? Or this.
I don't want to think about my mom to this.
I mean, like probably an adult man for sure. Maybe a family of four. Like I don't.
Would it fill my swimming pool? I feel like it would get close.
Yeah, I mean that's an idea actually. Yeah. Okay. All right. This is the weekly wind down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacey, the new age old school mom.
And I'm Stacey, the political princess.
And you guys are stuck with just us tonight. Next week, we will have Jeannie Levig on, and she will be doing an interview with us. But tonight, you're going to hear us bitch about whatever we want to bitch about. So welcome to our therapy session. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm on my period.
Oh, so much fun. And that's only her first sip of wine. She's already...
fired up.
I wish everyone could see like the evil eyes she gives us as if we've done something to personally affront her in the last minute and 29 seconds. Yeah, I'm on my period. Bah, fuck you guys. Bah.
Let's do this.
Yeah. All right. I am drinking. It's either pronounced Evel or Evil. I'm going with Evil because that's fun. Because who doesn't want to drink a little Evil on a Tuesday night? And it's a 2014 and it says it's from Portugal, but of course it's bottled in Connecticut. And it says the wine shows a beautiful dark red color, which is true. That's accurate. Truth in advertising right there. With violent tints, an intense aroma of berries, green tobacco, and vanilla harmoniously integrated with full body, soft tannins, and subtle oak signal the excellent quality of this wine. I'm gonna be real honest, like, yeah, it's red. I don't know about vanilla, though.
I want to write those so bad.
I don't know about vanilla or green tobacco or, like, yeah, I don't. Or, like, what is that oaky thing that they're always talking about?
Oaky.
I don't know. Does it taste like a treat? Like, are we supposed to put grass in it? Like, I don't know how it actually.
I want a real Christmas tree tasting wine.
Like, I've never tasted something and been like, yep, there's the oak.
So, yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the description says. It's very good. I'm enjoying it, but no oak, no green. What? I wouldn't even know what green tobacco tastes like. So,
I wouldn't even know what any tobacco
is. Yeah, it sounds. Gross. Isn't green tobacco not like prepared tobacco? Like, isn't it not ripe? Like,
it's not ripe yet, right? It's
right. Green. Or is it? Does it
I don't know.
I don't know how. I think you dry it out and it turns brown. So it's before it's no dry. Idea.
I think we should always read the little descriptions because this is great.
And again, if you're pregnant, you shouldn't drink it. So there's the rest of the label. All right.
Good to know.
Well, you're on your period, so you're clear.
Oh, yeah.
Stacey?
I am drinking the Giving Tree, or I mean the Dreaming Tree. I got it because it looks like the Giving Tree. The like front, it's got the little tree and it looks exactly like the Giving Tree, the book. So tastes to me like if you had a very like subtle red wine and you had a bunch of ice in it and you let the ice melt and then you drank it. That's what it tastes like to me. Like, I don't know if I've just had too many cough drops today or if it's just.
So it's not good.
That it tastes watered down. Okay, so I'm looking at the back and it says, Dave and I are passionate about creating wines with soul. The rhythm of our California
cab. I don't trust anyone named Dave.
Highlights classic aromas of blackberry, cherry, and bittersweet chocolate with hints of toasty oak. This wine is loaded with character and easy to drink. I'm going to say easy to drink, yeah, because it tastes a little watery. But the blackberry, cherry, and chocolate, no, not at all. No. I wanted to like it.
I don't like the name Dave. I feel like every Dave I know is married to like a Carol that they're just kind of annoying and real bitchy at parties.
That's so funny. My aunt and uncle are David Carol and they're fantastic people.
Okay. Well, they're an outlier then. I'm just saying. You don't feel like it. Well, you have a Dave and Carol, so.
I do, and they're very cool people.
Well, nothing personal, Stacey's Dave and Carol. You weren't who I was referring to.
I'm sure you're lovely people.
I'm sure you're wonderful. I'm sure you have a nice tinge of oakiness to you.
Yeah, nice oaky afterbirth.
So gross.
Okay, so I am drinking my favorite Sophia
Hello Kitty
canned wine. Okay, I love it. First of all, the Sophia line. It's Francis Coppola's tribute to his only daughter, Sophia.
You tell us this every time you drink it.
I know, but hold on. I don't think I've read this before because okay. It's great. So our effervescent Sophia Blanc de Blanc's blend in stylish pink cans, also available as a 4-pack in a decorative pink box. True. I got that box. Sophia Mini is a single serving of our effervescent Sophia Blanc de Blanc's tasting of fresh, juicy pears. Summer melon and honeysuckle. Zesty, refreshing, cool, and fun. Each dazzling pink can comes with its own straw for sipping. So you can take it anywhere, anytime you feel like sparkling. Yeah, that's great. That's great.
That's you.
Yes. Sign me up for all of that.
They try to make it sound real fucking fancy, but it comes in an aluminum can with a plastic straw. So,
right. Yeah. Thank you, that bitches. And it's great, and I love it. It's my like trusty.
The Sophia is very good. I agree with you. Okay, we're back because Stacey had to switch her wine. I think that's the first in weekly wind down history, right there.
That is a first where we had to stop.
I thought there was a legit emergency. She's like, pause it.
I was like, took a big swing thinking like, I'll clear my palate, like kind of just get a real taste of it. And I like almost spit it out. It's gross. It's really watery tasting. So now I have Greenfish Verdejo. It's a classic dry white wine. Greenfish Verdejo is sourced from lovely zingy fruit, showing distinct varietal character from one of Spain's finest white grapes. This delicious dry white has lovely floral lemon and white peach characteristics. We're going to try this instead.
So it's got flowers and fruit, flowers. And it's named after fish. And?
Oh, that's so much better.
She's all, oh. Okay, so we're back on track. So, today we are going to talk about Amanda Bynes, but more specifically, if we are as a society too hard on celebrities. Also, fucking millennials are ruining everything, including marriage, according to probably baby boomers, I would assume.
Yeah.
And then, of course, everyone's favorite topic, the war on Christmas. Because thank God, Trump is back in office and we can finally say Merry Christmas again.
We can say Merry Christmas.
Finally.
Did we ever stop? I didn't stop. Did you
No
stop?
One stopped. Like, Stacey and I dusted off our soapboxes about this earlier today and we figured we'd share it with you guys. So let's actually start with Amanda Bynes. So this article in The Atlantic came out kind of doing a profile on her. And for people who aren't familiar with Amanda Bynes, she was a child actress, and then she kind of grew up in front of the cameras the same way Britney Spears did, and she had a complete breakdown that was infused with drugs and alcohol and just being kind of in the spotlight. Now she's trying to make a comeback, and everyone's trying to figure out if she'll be well-received or if she should make a comeback or whatever. So here are my brief thoughts on it. I don't think it's up to us whether or not she makes a comeback. I mean, if she wants to try and do a job that she loves doing, she should try doing that. And if her work is good, that should speak for itself. Like, I don't think, like, she didn't assault anyone. She didn't rape anyone. Like, she doesn't need the public's forgiveness to come back into the public. She had a personal breakdown that, she said some crazy shit on Twitter, but she didn't actually hurt anyone but herself. It's not like Louis C.K. where it's like, are we ready for him to be back on stage after he masturbated into plants in front of women? Like, Amanda Bynes didn't do anything like that. She just had a mental breakdown.
A little crazy. Well, and that's the thing she talks about. Like, she was addicted to drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she full on talks about that. And it was really interesting to me because I think sometimes you don't take into consideration the contributing factors all the time with celebrities, especially at that age. But I, in reading the article, she talks a lot about how when she did the movie She's the Man, how she hated how she looked as a boy. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't seen that movie, it's Twelfth Night, right?
Twelfth Night?
Twelfth Night. It's like, it's Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. It's
it's like, is that like a production company? What's happening?
So she cross-dresses basically and tries to
pass a soccer player.
As a soccer player, at her school. And seeing herself, man, at that age where you're already so worried about, like, in this industry of, like, how you look and, you know, all that kind of stuff, to then see yourself. So she was dealing with a lot of those sort of body image issues. And then to be in a movie like that where you're seeing yourself as somebody you're not, which I'm sure is how people who have, like, different gender identity probably feel when they're forced to dress like something they don't, and, you know, represent themselves in something. I mean, it's the same kind of thing to me. Like, obviously different because the job, and she's getting paid for it. But just all of those factors go into it. And she started taking, she was smoking a lot of weed, and then she started taking Adderall.
Yeah.
Because she heard.
And drinking,
weight and drinking and that sort of stuff. But she said to the point where she was chewing, just straight up chewing the pills because she thought it gave her a better high. And she had a total mental breakdown. But since then, like, sounds like she's gotten clean. She's made restitutions. She's been going to school. Like, she's opening up about, this is what I was going through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just sad that we kind of exploit that so much.
Yeah. I feel like when I read the article, I was like, I vaguely knew who she was, but I don't remember her big breakdown. And I kind of feel like she was kind of in between. She was one of those child actors that she was in stuff when I was starting to grow out of the cartoons and the Disney Channel and Nickelodeon. But then my kids were still like too young to watch it. So she fell in between, kind of like Hannah Montana, mm-hmm. you know, she fell into that gap for me. And so I was kind of like, who, what? So when I read the article, I was like, oh yeah. So she was the prissy girl on Easy A.
Yeah.
Did the stapler thing with the girl, you know, and at the front desk. And so in the article, she says like she watched Easy A and was just disgusted with how she looked and how she acted. And I'm thinking, she seemed fine, you know, to us. But to see yourself in a bad place like that, that's got to be weird. But then the only thing I can compare it to is Britney Spears' breakdown, because we were all present for that, you know?
Yeah.
And how media just destroyed her. And I don't feel like she ever really came back.
No. Well, she has a pretty successful ongoing show in Vegas now.
She does.
But
it's still such a joke. Like, how many memes have you seen? Like, if 2007 Britney, you know, could get through it, you can get through this. Like,
which actually isn't, it's kind of true. But here's the thing, like, we get very, as a society, I'm not talking about like us individually, but as a society, we leave very little room for error when it comes to movie stars or actors or, you know, athletes. And I'm not talking about the athletes that like beat their wives and get away with murder. That's not who I'm fucking talking about. I'm talking about
people that have mental health issues or
exactly, and we give so little room. And you know, you hear constantly, well, you know, they get paid enough, you know, blah blah blah, they're in the public eye, they should expect it. Should they? Like, should they? Because just because you choose a career that you want to perform, which yes, you are accepting a certain amount of public scrutiny at that point, but does that entitle us to know every single detail about these people's lives? Right. Like, we shouldn't, like, when those nude pictures were leaked a few years ago of like these really famous actresses like Jennifer Lawrence and stuff. And like, well, she wasn't actually one of them, but you know what I mean? Like, that's none of our business. Like, that kind of stuff should never happen. And Amanda Bynes shouldn't have to come to us and apologize for anything that she's done. And it's super, and neither should Britney Spears. Cause you know what? Yeah. Fucking Britney girl, you still doing the damn thing. She like is. You look good as hell. but look at how the media treats women versus someone like Robert Downey Jr.
Right.
Okay, these young women have to come back and beg for forgiveness, where Robert Downey Jr. is held up as like an example of sobriety and prosperity, and like he's the fucking star of Iron Man. And I'm not hating on that either. I'm just saying we have these crazy double standards. Another, we've talked about this before. Look at what a player asshole like John Mayer is, and look how hard the world is on Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Like, what's the fucking difference?
Yeah.
Like,
well, It just irritates me too, because it's like, you know, these people have feelings. Like, I remember legit getting into a Facebook argument with somebody after Whitney Houston died, because they were like, well, she was on drugs. Like, okay, that's not how any of this worked. And some, like, you'll post a, you know, rest in peace Whitney, but not, you know, all the soldiers who've died. Like, what does that have to do with anything? Like, why are people not allowed to mourn? Like, she was somebody's mother and somebody's sister and somebody's daughter and someone's inspiration. And, you know, it's really, really sad to me that that's how her life turned out. That's a really sad way to live your life, addicted to drugs. Like, that's awful.
Well, not
and
just
so that how we have like no sympathy sort of for when things like that happen, depending on who it is. So somebody like Whitney Houston, zero. And maybe the gender is the double standard, because someone like Whitney Houston, zero sympathy. Somebody like Heath Ledger,
Prince,
tons of Michael Jackson.
Well, he was a child
for Michael Jackson, but he. I'm just saying, I don't think he was completely innocent.
Probably abused children, like
right. And you know, were there contributing factors that led to that? Because most people who were abused end up abused. Yes, absolutely. But there seems to be, you're right, it seems to be like women especially have to ask for this forgiveness, you know.
And I'm not trying to pull like the gender card. I don't think it's like conscious. I think it just is how it plays out. And it could be that
women are constantly asking for forgiveness.
I was going to say, it could be that women seek the forgiveness, where Robert Downey Jr. is just like, fuck you, I'm going to do what I want. Like, look at Charlie Sheen. No public figure has gone off the deep end more than fucking Charlie Sheen. And that motherfucker owned it. Like, he fucking owned it. Yeah. He was winning and fucking Tiger Blood. And like, I snort my own weight in cocaine every day. And everyone was just like, okay, like, that's a little crazy, but we accept you. But like...
Yeah.
But like Amanda Bynes, Britney Spears, you know, they all have to come fucking or stay out of the limelight for several years and come crawling back. And I don't think we're one, entitled. Two, I honestly don't know how I would handle the amount of scrutiny that they're under constantly. Like, I definitely don't know if I'd want my kid exposed to that kind of scrutiny. And I think it's real easy, like in most situations in the social media age, to sit behind a keyboard and, you know, fucking spit out all of your opinions about these people that you don't know, have never met,
right,
don't know their actual struggles. And just like how Stacey was talking about when the fires happened in California, people are hating on Miley Cyrus. Like, she's still a person who still suffered a loss. Like, just because she has more money than you doesn't mean she doesn't have fucking feelings. Like, I think we're too hard on them is just my bottom.
And it makes you wonder too, like, how many of these people actually have friends that they can like legitimately trust? Cause I feel like that's, you get into that situation where people are so quick to sell you out and like, you know, give out your location so people can, so the paparazzi can get these awful pictures of them in these like sad moments. It makes me like a lot of kudos to Kylie Jenner. Cause you know what? And her friends. Cause that girl, listen, hold on. Don't make that face. That girl got pregnant at a pretty young age and decided that she didn't want anybody else's negativity about what was going on in her life to affect her or her baby or her pregnancy. So she kept that thing hidden the entire time. Not a single friend snuck pictures, like nobody, nothing. She didn't sell pictures of her baby. She didn't do anything. She just said, hey, look, I had a baby and here's what it is. And I didn't, you know, I don't want anybody else's thoughts or feelings or anything else about it. And I thought that was a pretty mature move for somebody, you know.
Stacey, you have any final thoughts on it before I move on?
I'm trying to think of like what child actors grew up in the spotlight and didn't like have a breakdown or a drug problem. I mean, like think about like Macaulay Culkin,
Drew Barrymore,
the Olsen twins, Drew Barrymore, River. Is it River or Joaquin?
Both.
It was River. Which one died?
River.
River.
Yeah, you know, think about like all of these child actors. Like, okay, I could see Jonathan Taylor Thomas, but he left when he was a teenager. Right. He left after like Home Improvement to go to college.
I loved him.
I did too. So but much. You know, that just there's so many like child stars that that's the path they end up going down.
Yeah.
That's really sad. So if they do stick with it and if they do stay in show business, once they're in like their 20s, it seems like that's when it comes out, you know, that they're, you know, into drugs or they have a drinking problem or they have a breakdown or, you know, whatever the case may be. That's just when it seems to happen. And that's really sad.
Well, and the public are fickle fucking creatures too. Like they turn right on someone in a heartbeat. Like one child actor or someone who's been in the spotlight since he was a little kid who hasn't, and I'm sure there's dozens and I just can't think of any off the top of my head, is like Justin Timberlake. He doesn't really have any major scandal around him or whatever. Right. He's married, he has kids, but mm-hmm. all of a sudden the public's like turning on him for whatever reason. It's like, when is it good enough? Like these right. people lead these, they're trying to live like normal lives. They're trying to just mm-hmm. do, I'm sorry that your art didn't make you rich and fucking famous. Theirs did. Like yeah. that's, yes, you have to go to work every day at some bullshit job and sit at a desk or go to a factory or deliver packages, whatever it is that you do every day. And that's super shitty. I'm sorry. I'm sure if your talent could have made you millions, you would have taken the risk too. But you know what? Whose yeah. fault that's not? Theirs. It's not their fucking yeah. fault. So yeah. stop taking out all your bullshit, bottled up, jealous aggression out on people that don't even know you fucking exist. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm done.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on.
The war on Christmas.
The war on Christmas.
You're real fired up today.
Okay.
You're like.
Okay.
Throwing the F word around.
All right. Here, the war. Okay. I got real worked up at work today because my secretary's friend came in, or my administrative assistant's friend came in, and she was like, oh, where's your guys' Christmas tree? Or are you not allowed to have one? And this kind of shit really pisses me off because it's like you just yeah. walked past it, first of all. Like it was in the lobby where it's in every business. Like you literally just walked past it. And I said, why wouldn't we be allowed to have one? And she goes, well, you know, because it offends people. And I was like, who does it offend? Where are you not seeing Christmas trees? Yeah. And she goes, well, you can't say Merry Christmas. And I said, why? Why? Like nothing stop prevents me from saying Merry Christmas. I said, I happen to think Happy Holidays is more appropriate because it covers all of them. Yeah. And you don't know what someone believes in or whatever. So just, and she goes, well, you can't say Merry Christmas anymore. I said, has anyone ever in your life told you you cannot say Merry Christmas? She goes, no. And I looked at my administrative assistant. I said, has anyone told you? No. I said, then where the fuck do you guys get this from? I didn't say fuck, but I was like, then where's all this coming from? Well, right. you know, America's a Christian nation and it was founded on Christian values. No, it's not.
No,
absolutely not.
Separation of two churches and state. And that's kind of the whole reason they came here
right.
was to flee religious persecution.
But. So it just got me on like this kick of they've been talking about ever since Obama was in office about this war on Christmas. And for the last 10 years, I haven't heard any less Merry Christmases anywhere. I haven't seen any Christmas trees taken down. They're still selling them at grocery stores and Rite Aids and Home Depot and Lowe's, and like you can still purchase one anywhere. So I would really, really just like to know where this ridiculous concept of there's a war on Christmas. Why? Because Starbucks made a red cup and didn't put praise Jesus Christ on the side? Like, listen, people, Jesus wasn't even born on Christmas. I could go into a whole triad on how the Christians stole so many holidays from the pagans. Yeah, the pagans, you dumb dumbs. You've been celebrating winter solstice all this time mm-hmm. and masking it as Jesus's birthday. So go ahead. What thoughts on war on Christmas? Go before I get real worked up, before I get real fucking worked up.
I feel like it always comes back to the left versus the right thing. It seems like it came out when Obama was in office, for me noticing, like maybe it was before or after, but for me, I noticed it when Obama was in office and the Starbucks cups came out, you know, the red cups, and it turned into this thing. Don't say Merry Christmas.
It was stupid because those cups, the whole idea, I hate to interrupt, but I just want to say the whole idea for those cups, and it happened for a year, was that you doodle on them yourselves.
Well, it happened before that.
This cool red ombre, and you're going to draw on whatever you feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like it was kind of an attack on Obama because Obama's in office. Now we can't say Merry Christmas.
But
now
did he ever not have Christmas decorations at the White House?
Right.
Did he ever not say God bless America at the end of a speech? Did he ever, like, no.
Did he get up on his podium and say, no more Merry Christmas? You have to say holiday tree, not Christmas tree. Like, no. Like, I don't know where this came from. I don't know. So now, all of a sudden, Jax goes off on this, like, rant, and I'm like, yeah, I am seeing this from a lot of people all of a sudden about, like, don't say Merry Christmas. So, of course, I Google it, and it comes up with Trump's name, and it's, Trump is ending the war on Christmas. You can now say Merry Christmas again. And I'm like,
oh my God,
where is this coming from? It's become a left versus right. Why does the right think that the left doesn't want to say Merry Christmas? Because I don't know where that came from. I don't see anybody on the left saying, don't say Merry Christmas. And I have more friends that lean left than right. So where is this fear-mongering coming from? It's bullshit.
Because I think it's more common for people who are more liberal to, like, want to be more inclusive of other people. And it seems like to me, in my own personal experience, the people I know that are conservative are all Christian. And so I don't need to be inclusive of you. Like, it's okay for me to, like, I like Christmas for Santa Claus. I like Santa, and I like trees, and I like lights, and I like presents and hot chocolate and decorations and shitty Netflix Christmas movies. I like that. So if I know someone celebrates Christmas and we're right around Christmas, I'm going to say Merry Christmas. If I, like, want to send you one whole thing that covers Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, New Year's, whatever I feel like, I'm going to say happy holidays. I'm going to say whatever it is I feel like. If I know you celebrate Hanukkah, I'm going to say happy Hanukkah.
It's just real funny that the party who claims that their free speech is always under attack wants to limit what you can say to their personal beliefs.
But also, like, it's just irritating to me. And then all of a sudden we're snowflakes because we want people to feel included. I just don't get it.
We're the snowflakes. They're the ones offended by Merry Christmas because we're not the ones outlawing Merry Christmas. Well, we're the ones saying it.
Now who's worked up?
We had our Christmas tree lighting.
Your holiday tree?
No, our Christmas tree. And I won't tell you how many times I heard, we say Merry Christmas in Brentwood.
Yep. That's all, like, I'm seeing on Facebook.
We say relax.
And here's the thing.
We have a Christmas tree. We also have a giant menorah. And this wasn't us saying it. This were some comments on some things that the local paper posted something, and they put Xmas on something, and it got a million comments of, like, excuse me, it's Christmas, like, all that kind of stuff. Here we say Christmas. God. We say Merry Christmas and God bless America. No one's saying you can't say that. What they're saying is you don't have to say that if that's not what your deal is.
Well, here's the thing. Happy holidays encompasses Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. We're just real fucking lazy. Happy holidays is just easier.
But if someone passes me,
though, like today, the woman I got into this conversation with was like, have a Merry Christmas. So I said, you too. Hey. Merry Christmas. Like, I don't have anything against Christmas.
It's an insult now.
I don't have anything against
it. You look liberal. I'm going to throw Christmas in your face.
I just.
Thank you. You look
Christmas.
Like, I do.
I freaking love Christmas. I'm like Christmas the way you are about Thanksgiving. All about it. I'm whatever. It's not a religious thing to me.
Right.
I like Santa and elves and winter wonderlands and snowmen.
Me too.
And the spirit of Christmas. So like, the Christmas time itself is fun. It's, you get a lot of time off work and things look pretty. Yeah. And like, there are ridiculously
all the things, and it's cold. Yeah. So you can wear all the clothes and nobody knows that you gained all the weight from eating all the things.
And I just wish people would do a little bit of research before they, like, berate other people about, like, where Christmas actually came from, because it is a pagan ritual. Jesus was born sometime in the late summer, early fall. No one can be quite sure. It wasn't on Christmas, though, guys. I'm really, really sorry about that. It just wasn't. But back when the Romans were trying to turn everyone into Catholics back in, like, I don't know, 3 AD or something ridiculous like that. They were trying to convert all the overlaying pagans over, and the pagans celebrated something called winter solstice. It actually begins with an S. I can't think of the word right now. But they were like, hey, pagans, you're going to be Christian now. You're going to be Catholic. And they were like, yeah, but we do this, like, really cool, like, winter solstice thing. Can we still do that? And they were like, yeah, we're going to make it about Jesus now. And they're like, but can we still eat? And they're like, yeah, we'll still have a real big feast. Can we still exchange like lots of gifts? Sure. Why not? How about, can we celebrate it for several days? Yeah, sounds good. How about these gingerbread men? We make gingerbread men. Can we do that? For sure. But we're going to rename it and it's going to be Christmas now. And they were like, but we still get all the things? Sure. Cool. And hi, there's Christmas. It has nothing to fucking do with Jesus. And I'm not even hating on the Christmas story. I think it's really sweet. Like the three wise men traveled all that way to meet a baby that was magically born from a virgin, which, come on, people, that doesn't happen. If Mari was around back then, it would have been like, Joseph, you are not the fucking father. Like, there's all, yeah.
Like, been on Jerry Springer.
I don't have a problem with the Christmas story. Like, I think it's important to our history and our traditions. And like, I think all of that stuff is important, but it's a story. And everyone gets real fucking worked up about this whole, you have to put Christ in Christmas when you're running around not being real Christ-like, because I can celebrate however the fuck I want, because that's America.
Yeah. But if you don't celebrate Christmas with Christ in it, the reason for the season, then you're un-American somehow also.
Yeah, all these same people that are running out and beating the hell out of each other to get the newest gadgets and toys the day after Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sure Jesus would have really appreciated that.
Yeah.
We never talked about Black Friday, or did you guys do the Cyber Monday thing? What's the coolest thing you got? Did you do anything?
I didn't. I did like no shopping. I did some shopping the day before, like on Express. I bought two pairs of jeans because they were 50% off. And that was pretty much the extent of my Black Friday shopping.
I got my, she's real behind, so she won't hear it. I got my wife a Kate Spade bag that was on Black Friday sale. On Cyber Monday.
That's a good present.
That's exciting.
And I got her a matching wallet, and then I got her some stuff from like Bath and Body Works that she really likes. But that's really the only like Black Friday shopping I did. I'm not doing like shopping. We got our parents all the same thing, and I got that on Black Friday. But I do not do the whole Black Friday thing. I think it's insane.
I used to love it, but then I realized like and the same thing with outlets. They put out cheaper products for Black Friday, and outlets do the same thing, because there's some outlets, I will say Kate Spade is one where you can still find like good quality stuff there. But all the other outlets, they put like lower level product out in there and then make it, you feel like you're getting something nice. And they do the same thing for Black Friday. Case in point, Victoria's Secret, which always sells some crappy looking, like really, really, it like just different quality, like pink leggings or sweats or sweatshirts or whatever on Black Friday. And it's not the same stuff that they sell in the store. Those sales don't apply that stuff. It's like this stuff that they did just for Black Friday. And so, you know what? I don't really like that. They put out the crappy TVs at Walmart. They put out the, you know, it's just a low quality stuff, and you're not getting that big of a deal usually.
We celebrated,
like everything was 50% off. So that was a good bargain to me.
We celebrated Thanksgiving on Friday because my brother has a girlfriend now, so he has to do two holidays. So he went to Thanksgiving with his girlfriend's family, so he did Thanksgiving with us on Friday. So on Thursday, we all just kind of hung out together and played games and stuff. And so we were like, hey, why don't we go look at some of the deals? And so we went out to a couple of stores, and it was kind of, yeah, like you said, it was poor quality stuff. It seemed like they marked things up really high to mark them down.
Yes.
You know, it was like $75 pajama sets for $50, and you're like, that I would never pay $50 for pajamas.
Yeah.
So the next day, so on Friday, we did our normal Thanksgiving, and then we went out for like an hour just to like hit a couple of sales. And I went to Bath and Body Works and got hand soaps and stuff, because that stuff I would have bought anyway, and they were buy three, get three free. So but it was actually Cyber Monday. This is the first time I've like really paid attention to Cyber Monday. I had a bunch of stuff in my Amazon cart, and when I went on Monday, just out of curiosity, a lot of my stuff was like half off. Oh, and it was like stuff I was going to buy anyway. So I was like, click, done. So that was cool. But there wasn't any big like ticket item that I was like super stoked about. It was all just kind of whatever.
How very unchristian of you.
Yeah, Jesus is really sad about that.
Well, before we move on, I did want to ask Stacey one thing. We're like, you you posted something on your Facebook today about it, and it was spurred because your mother-in-law had posted something. Where do you think her hatred for like the war on, or her idea of the war on Christmas comes from?
I think it's because, okay, just in case anybody listens to this,
it's a liberal. Your mother-in-law 100% doesn't listen to us.
For sure, but in case anybody does. Just in case, Jax messaged us that she had that conversation the same time my mother-in-law posted about not saying Merry Christmas, and so it irked me to post something. It wasn't all her. But I think that it comes from her watching Fox News, because when I Googled it, the very first thing that came up was about Trump stopping the war on Christmas, and it was an article by Fox News. So I think 100% she's watching Fox News and hearing that Trump is stopping the war on Christmas and hearing that the left side is saying, don't say Merry Christmas. Nobody's allowed to say Merry Christmas. It has to be Happy Holidays. And so she's just projecting that onto Facebook now because that's what she thinks is going on in the outside world, you know, from Fox News.
How insightful of her.
It's just like, man. And he's going to get credit for solving this huge problem that never fucking existed.
Right.
Congratulations.
Exactly.
Just like his little rant today about tariffs. I'm the tariff man. And it's like, you don't even know how tariffs work, apparently. It's like because tariff man, Mr. Tariff man. Yeah. Explain it in 4 sentences or less. Okay. So to add to the list of things millennials are supposedly ruining, because they've ruined house buying and eating at like Applebee's and what else have they ruined?
Life
just everything. Avocados. They're also now being accused of fabric softener. I've heard that before too. Millennials don't.
Oh, probably Tide Pods.
So yeah. Millennials are also ruining marriage. So I pulled some stuff on it, and millennials aren't ruining marriage. They've just gotten smarter about marriage. They're waiting till they're older to get married. Yep. A third of millennials will never get married because they don't see any point to it. Like what, especially if they're millennials who don't want children, they're saying like, why would I get married if I'm not going to have kids with someone? Like it just complicates everything. What's mine is mine. What's yours is mine. And we'll be in a relationship till we're not in a relationship. Like that's how it's going to work. And there's also this they're also kind of trickling towards a lot of millennials. There's this movement that they're not monogamous. Like they're in open relationships. They're okay with having polyamorous. They're, you know, pansexual, they're bisexual, whatever. And they're not committing to one person in a healthy way. And by that, I mean, everybody who's involved knows what's happening. No one's being lied to. So I don't personally think that's ruining marriage. Like, to me, each their own. Like, if Lex and I hadn't wanted to have a kid, I don't know that we would have gotten married.
Right.
Like, there would have been no real reason to, like, you can just as easily stay with someone and be committed to someone because we aren't, you know, in open relationships. Like, we believe in monogamy, mm-hmm. and that's our personal choice. I don't care if anyone doesn't. Like, that's on you. Right. As long as everyone's being honest about it, you do you, boo-boo. Like, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if we weren't going to have a kid just for ease of legalities and medical reasons and, like, all this other stuff. Like, I don't know that there's so much of a reason to get married, especially when you see some of the nasty divorces that are going on. Like, bruh. Yeah. Fuck that. So do you guys think millennials are ruining marriage, or they've just gotten smarter about it?
I feel like what made me kind of think about this topic, I was listening to a podcast by Kaylin Lowry from Teen Mom and Lindsay Chrisley from Chrisley Knows Best. Together, they have a podcast about parenting.
Real fucking brain power there. Yeah.
It's a lot. It's very young. They're in their early 20s and it shows. They have little kids and they They haven't been doing the parenting and married thing. Well, Kaylin's not even married. She's mm-hmm. actually divorced with three different baby daddies. They yeah. just, they have a lot of different views, you know? And so they were talking about how different it was that, you know, the one girl is married and was on the edge of divorce and really thought about it and had to do some soul searching and decided to give it a second try because of her kid. Whereas Kale is really stressing now that she's getting older about the effect it has on her children yeah. that she's not married, but the men that she had babies with are getting married and having second children. And she's worried about what that looks like to her sons, you know, that her mom is not married. And, you know, so they start talking about how marriage is a dying trend and that millennials aren't getting married. And so I kind of brought it to my husband and was like, why do people get married? And he's like, I guess there's like benefit. There's like tax benefits right. and like medical benefits. I was like, no, but why? And he's like, I don't know. I guess like that's the logical step. You fall in love, you get married, you have kids, you buy a house, like you do these things. And that's what society tells you you're supposed to do. And I said, yeah. And that's what worked for us. But do you think that that's like what society is, you know, is that still modern basically? And he's like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and monogamy, you know, is monogamy still a thing? And he's, you know, he had the idea that it should be a thing because of health reasons. And so I get that, you know, like, but you could still be a single, very healthy, conscious person and never get married and have 100 sexual partners and still be a healthy person. You know, I mean, there are people that sleep around a lot and are not careful about it. So I wanted to bring it to you guys to see what you thought about, like, is it like a barbaric custom? Is marriage like
something? I don't think so. Like, I still want to get married and I know, but I think I fall into that, like, group of millennials that just is focused on establishing their career and figuring things out. And I mean, you're lucky because you found the right person when you were so young, but you know, I feel like the older you get, the more you're
it's
like
a war zone out there.
Not willing to put up with people's bullshit. I'm just not. And at this point too, I'm like, if I meet somebody and I'm like, yeah, I just know I'm not feeling it, I'm much more inclined to sort of end it there than to be like, well, we'll see what happens. Cause like, no, I don't really want to waste my time on that.
I actually did some research on it, and the downturn on like how marriage kind of has fallen out of trend is when women have now started going in the upward like mobility Ooh. Of they have jobs and careers and they don't need men anymore. And I mean,
I was going to say the exact same
thing. Oh, were you?
I was going to say, well, I did some research and.
Oh, go ahead. What'd you find?
No, that's fine. What you're saying. And I was going to say, just like Stacey said, people are a little bit more picky now mm-hmm. because women have more to offer in this day and age than they did in like maybe the 40s and 50s. And so they can live by themselves. They have educational.
And I think that slows you down because in my personal experience, that's intimidating to guys to have a woman that's successful. Like, I don't need you to take care of me. I have my own place. Like, I pay my own bills. I have a good job. I probably make more money than you do. You know, mm-hmm. and I don't think lots of guys are super comfortable being in that position.
Well,
they automatically assume that I'm going to want to try and be in charge all the time. And that's not the case. I don't want to be in charge in those sorts of situations, you know.
It's actually kind of an interesting phenomenon to watch unfold, too, because as roles kind of shift where it's not uncommon now for a woman to make more money than the man. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing. Obviously, there's nothing wrong with that, but the kind of the mindset that some men enter into relationships thinking like it's now becoming more socially acceptable to have stay-at-home dads and mm-hmm. like, you know, mm-hmm. like it's just really interesting. I think there is still 100% a place for marriage. Like, I love my wife. I'm happy I married her. But I think the interesting dynamic now is people are getting married because they truly have met a partner and it's not out of necessity, which is why you're seeing it go. People are getting married much later in life and when they're both established and, you know, they're entering into it because they want to be together, not because they need to be together. And like, Stacey, you were lucky you met your person so young. And the other benefit of that was you two have grown and changed together. Whereas a lot of millennials, when they finally start thinking about marriage and settling down, they have gone through college, they're, you know, 5-6 years into their career, they're independent, and now they're trying to mesh their lives with someone that has also done the same thing. And it's fucking hard. And you and Kai had the opportunity to kind of, you grew up together, kind of, in a sense, like you went through all of those adjustments that we all go through. But you two actually made it through and stayed together, where a lot of people call it quits early on. So yeah. I don't think they're ruining marriage. I think they're redefining it, and that's okay. Like it's okay to, as time goes on, say this doesn't mean what it used to mean. Like we've done that with lots of things. We've done it with slaves, for one. We've done it with women voting. We've done it with women owning houses and having their own credit cards. Like we continue to do it, and I think in order for it to stay relevant, the definition of it has to change. And I also think, too, when you see people not entering marriage, like into this binding paperwork, I think probably their relationships, they work harder than to keep themselves together, because it is easier to walk away when you are not financially tied to someone through paperwork than it is if you're just like, you know what? I'm done. Like, I don't like you anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's more incentive to actually be considerate and be caring and be kind and like do all these things to stay in relationships. Like, I think it actually, you know, their divorce rate is plummeting.
I was going to say, you know what? The divorce rate amongst baby boomers is so much higher than the divorce rate, I'm assuming, is going to be amongst millennials.
Well, is marriage going away completely? Because then it's not even comparable. If millennials are actually doing away with marriage,
I think so,
only 1/3 of millennials aren't getting married, and the marriage industry is booming. People are still dropping $50,000 on one
day. They are certainly not waiting to get married to have kids. That's for sure. Right. That's the thing that's happening.
Right. Well,
even the people I know that are divorced or that had kids and they weren't married are married now. You know, they get married eventually, maybe not to the person they had kids with.
Well, you're also seeing an interesting trend come from it also, which is this really kind of beautiful existence of co-parenting with your ex, where like people are really putting aside their differences and being like, no, we're going to remain friends. Like, I can't tell you how many social media posts I see, especially from men saying, no, I still call my child's mom on their birthday because it's important for my sons to see that I treat their mother with respect and dignity. Mm-hmm. And like, we may not have worked out, but they're still their mother. Like it's really nice to see, you know, moms with their new husbands and dads with their new wives or whatever the partner situation is going to baseball games together with their kids. Yeah. Like, I think millennials have taken a really different, I think one, because their baby boomer parents scarred them for life with all their horrific divorces. Yeah. And they were like, we're never doing that to our kids.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you would think that they would want both parents to be together. If they saw like how horrific divorce was, you would think that they would want
No, I think it makes them gun shy about marriage, and then they end up having kids out of wedlock. And then, you know, a lot of them have commitment issues after, you know, witnessing things like that. You know,
like articles that I read had like all these, I mean, it was like, it takes you back to like from cavemen to now talking about like why we needed each other over time. And it was this, it's a book, and they took quotes from the book from each chapter and talked about what each chapter was about. And it was so insightful. But one of the things they said was drug addiction, lack of education, welfare, children in poverty, violence, unemployment, single parent homes, are all critical problems facing the country today. Many ideas have been presented regarding the cause of these problems, but this guy, the author, George Gilder, speaks directly with authority about the one undeniable source, the disintegration of the American family. And he goes on to talk about that those are actually the things that are products of broken households, because, you know, like the kids get stuck with a single parent that can't provide for them the way that two parents can. Does that make sense?
Sure. And yeah. I think that will always, that's always going to exist. And there's kids that are in two parent households that their parents can't provide for them either. Like, I think it also speaks a lot to how we don't do a good enough job supporting different types of families in this country. Like, single moms should not have to work three jobs to be able to take care of their kids. Single dad shouldn't have to either. Like, I think it speaks more to underlying issues, because I personally think if you actually have a conversation with your children, and I come from a divorced family, and say, you know, if you approach it with like, your dad or your, we're not happy together. We still love you. We still want to give you all these things. We're just not working out. And if both parents actually commit to being committed to the child, like, I don't know if it's any healthier for a child to grow up in a home where they live, they now look at relationships that these two people don't communicate, they don't like each other. Like, that's not healthy either, growing up in that environment, seeing like, oh, this is how it's supposed to be. I can roll my eyes every time my wife says something, or I can blow her off and not come home till 2 a.m. You know, like, whatever it is that takes place in a household where parents are truly unhappy, like, being in a bad relationship is bad too.
Mm-hmm. But I'm more talking about like the comparison of like what Stacey was saying for like millennials that have kids without the intent of getting married or maybe even staying with that person forever because they want kids. And then later on down the road, they marry somebody else and then maybe they have another kid or they blend families or whatever. Like, do you think that that is still as beneficial as a family that they waited until like you waited until you were in your mid-30s before you found somebody and settled down and had a kid later in life, which is more, you know, seems like is more the millennial route. Like, do you think that they're the same, that the kids have the benefits of both of those equally?
I think it completely depends on the parents. I think there can be super successful single parents, and I think there can be really unsuccessful married parents. Like, I truly think it depends on how much of themselves they're willing to devote to their children. So much of parenting gone wrong is selfish behavior. Like, you are still worried about, well, I want to go out and party with my friends. And it's not like, well, I have a 2-year-old to take care of. And that happens regardless if you're married or not married. So much of it is devoted to how you're treating that child. And I don't think that's necessarily dependent on your relationship status. Yes, I think you are more financially stable. Obviously, if you have two incomes coming into a household, that's very, very clear. But kids need way more than financial security to thrive. They need a parent who's present and there and cares for them and they see is devoted. Like, I don't even think it's necessarily a bad thing for a single parent to be working 2 jobs but still spending that quality time with their kids and talking to them and having a good relationship with them. That's, I don't think that's any more harmful or better than a super rich parent that lets a nanny raise their kid. Like, you know, like there's so many just different things that can take place that I think it's a cop out to say the breakdown of American society is the breakdown of the American family.
Right.
Because the breakdown of the American family has been happening since the divorce rate started booming in the 1980s. And it has created now this generation of children that is one gun shy of getting married because they saw how horrible their parents felt about each other. And of course, this is gross generalizations. Some people's parents are still happily married. Good for you. Like, whatever. And two, you're also talking about a generation that, as much shit as they talk about the millennials, is probably one of the most selfish generations that's ever existed. They've bankrupted our economic system. They've destroyed the planet. Like, they've given all of the wealth to the 1%. It's not too far of a stretch to be like, and they only care about themselves when they reach the end of their relationship. Like, how often do you hear, well, daddy left and now he lives in Scottsdale with a new wife and kids, or mom left and she lives in New York now and she's pursuing her acting career, like, whatever it is, all of that stuff is detrimental to the child. Like, but if you have a mom, I don't care if she's rich, poor, or a dad, but that she's there for you, she tucks you in at night, she reads you stories, she hangs out with you, that means way more than having two parents around that are totally fucking checked out and on their phones all the time.
Right. I think that was my biggest like concern with the idea of like marriage, not just like the idea of a couple having kids and raising them together or, you know, splitting up and having other blended families, but the idea of marriage itself going away. I think that was my biggest like thought and concern was like families. You know, like if it's detrimental to families.
Yeah.
I don't think marriage will ever actually go away. Like, there's still people who want to be married. And I mean, you're happily married. Right. I'm happily married. We may not have gotten married if we didn't want to have a kid, but I don't regret marrying Lex. You know, like, those aren't, I'm never like, how am I going to get out of this cleanly? Like, that's not a thought that goes through my head. So I think there's still 100. And I mean, there's still people in this world that are traditionalists and they care about being married and they want that commitment. And they want that written on paper. And those are things they care about. Like, I think it's nice to see that it's not so much societal pressure saying to girls who are 22, you have to fucking get married and have kids. Like, it's becoming socially acceptable to be like, right. No, you can do what you want. If you want to get married, cool, do it. If not, cool, don't.
So one of the things that this article talked about in the earlier, like, more barbaric, you know, caveman type thing, I thought was kind of funny, and I wanted to get your guys's, like, outlook on it. Men in Marriage, which is the book, examines the loss of the family and the well-defined sex roles it used to offer and how this loss has changed the focus of our society. Poverty, for instance, comes from the destruction of the family when single parents are abandoned by their lovers for older women, or older women are suddenly divorced because society approves of the husband's new younger girlfriend. Gilder claims that men will only own up to their parental obligations when the women lead them to do so, and that this civilizing influence balanced with proper economic support is the most important part of maintaining a productive, healthy, loving society. Gilder describes the world as it once was. Men lust, but they know not what for. They wander and lose track of the goal. They fight and compete, but they forget the prize. They spread seed, but spurn the seasons of growth. They chase power and glory but miss the meaning of life. In creating civilization, women transform male lust into love, channel male wanderlust into jobs, homes, and families, link men to specific children, rear children into citizens, change hunters into fathers, divert male will to power into drive to create. Women conceive the future that men tend to fail. They feed the children that men ignore.
Okay, one, that's not giving men enough credit. Like, right. There's men that genuinely love their children.
Like, when I first read it, I was like, whoa. I had to go back and read it, like, three times, like, really slowly. Like, okay, this is, like, primal caveman thoughts. And then yeah. I could see, like, breakdown of, okay, there is, like, the fact that a lot of men would, they do see, like, okay, pros and cons of marriage. Cons: you don't get to go out with your boys, drink, sleep with women. Like,
those are cons for women too.
You have to hold down a job, you have to do all these things. And you know, it goes on to talk about, like, the pros and cons, and weighing them for men seemed so, like, off, and it was interesting to think about, you know. And but then as time goes on, women have, like, all this to offer men, and then we surpass them, and then it's like, yeah, we don't need you anymore, you know.
Well, we don't.
I really kind of, like, want to read the book because it just, the quotes they put in there were so interesting.
Like, straight women need you for sex,
but no, that's pretty shit. You really don't even need them for that.
Just for the procreation portion, I guess, because yeah, you need
to. Well, but here's the thing: one, I think it's super unfair to men because I do think there's a lot of men that genuinely care about their families and their wives and their kids and want to be nowhere else but with them. Like, I think there are men that feel like that. I think there are women that want to be nowhere but out with their friends and drinking and getting crazy. Yes. Like, I think it can exist on both sides. Yes, there is a primal, there is an old saying that says women learn to love, men learn to love the women they're attracted to, and women learn to be attracted to the men they love. So it's not a secret that men are driven by, like, visual recognition. They're attracted to pretty shiny things, and that is a primal instinct for them. And the whole, like, going off with younger women, it's because as men get older, their testosterone levels drop. And when they see younger women who are of childbearing years, their testosterone actually increases, and it creates a false high for them. So when they're around them, because their testosterone is pumping through them again, they feel euphoric, and they will then go on. There's a study that shows when men's lust centers turn on, their problem solving and, like, analytical ability to see consequence decreases. Like that sent that part of their brain shrivels up and their just immediate gratification increases. And they can't run both at the same time, and women can. Women are always seeing the big picture, even when they choose to ignore it, where men are typically, how they're biologically worked out is that if they are turned on, their problem solving and reasoning goes down. That doesn't excuse them from their behavior at one, because they still know what they're fucking doing. They're choosing to give in to their primal instincts instead of adhering to, that's why they ruin their lives. Like they go off and they do these things and they make their wives angry and mad and they lose everything. But it is actually, there's a scientific reason for it. So that
it makes that article we talked about from like the 50s about how to attract a man, and it's like stay slim and do these things, you know, whatever. I feel like
your mic's off.
Womp. I said it's not that far off. Sorry, Piper has been squeaking a toy for like the last several minutes. I forgot I turned it off. It's not.
Hold on. Yeah, Stacey was finishing a point. Hang on 1 second. Go ahead, Stace.
Oh, no, just that article. I mean, I feel like if you take like what you're saying and think about the article, it's almost like, well, yeah, that's where they got those.
That's what I'm saying. It's not that far off that they would need to do all of those things to try and keep their men from younger women.
But this goes back to the fact that women have always carried the emotional labor for relationships throughout time. It shouldn't be a woman's responsibility to keep a man interested in his own children. Like that's not, that may have worked in the
addict. Can I just say my biggest pet peeve is when guys refer to watching their own kids as babysitting.
Me too.
You are not babysitting, fool. Those are your kids.
Right. That's exactly right. But here that's written, and I'm actually interested to look at this book, but it's written from such kind of like a patriarchal viewpoint, because women, if you break it down, and even as a gay woman, I think men play an important role in our society. I'm not like burn them all down, get rid of all of them, fuck them all. Like I think there are some men who are completely worthwhile. I'm a big fan of your husband's. Like I love him. I want him around forever. He's like one of like maybe 15 though. Like that's like tops. But I think it's because we have coddled men their whole lives to make them think they are more important than they are. And that has done a disservice to them as much as it has to us. We have told them you don't have to pull your own emotional weight in relationships, because women are going to pick up the slack for you. And you're cheating them. You're cheating men from creating these bonds with individuals that women have with their children and their families. And like you're cheating them because you're telling them, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it for you. So they're like,
but
oh,
are they
okay.
Capable?
Yeah, they're capable, because some men are like, your husband loves his children. He loves them. If you were to break up tomorrow, you don't think Kai would move heaven and hell to still see his kids?
Of course. But I just mean like, you know,
I know he's a unicorn. If we could reproduce Kai, we'd solve a lot of the world's problems.
Right.
I just mean like the idea that they're such simple creatures. They're like, duh, pretty girl, shiny object, you know, that. Are they capable of the emotional, like, strength that women have?
I think they are. I think it's because we've never challenged them to do it.
Yeah.
I think, I look at my little boy who is 5 months old, and he grabs our faces and tries to kiss us, and he buries his face in our necks, and, like, he's so sweet and loving, and to see that from a young man is so, I look at him sometimes, and I'm like, what happens to you as you grow up? Like what desensitizes you to not be like this? Right. Like
testosterone.
Social conditioning tells him that he doesn't, it's not okay to grab your mom's face and give her kisses. Like, and I know some of it, you just grow up and you grow out of it. Cause I don't do that to my mom, and I'm sure I did it as a baby, but they have just as much sensitivity as women do at that age. Like they're, it's just how we treat them as they grow up, in my opinion. I'll let you know in 10 years how it pans out.
It's just like that, it's like that movie we watched.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, yeah, I think they are capable. Do I think they'll ever be able to carry, like, the emotional burden that women do? No. Women are wired to handle multiple things at all at once. We are programmed that way. We're natural multitaskers. Society would crumble without women. Would society crumble without men? If you got like a million of them to jerk off into some cups and freeze it, no, we'd flourish. Like, there's nothing. Yeah. Think about this, a society where women weren't competing with each other because men did not exist.
Yeah.
Think about that for a minute. Like, honestly.
Yeah.
Think about how much we would get done. Men would kill each other within fucking 6 months.
Oh my God, with no women around? For sure.
Yeah.
But I don't want to change my tire or my oil or any of those things that like are traditional male roles around here because yeah, I don't want to do that.
I'm not going to lie. Me also. I don't want to do that. I don't know how.
Well, you can still take it to a shop because I'll tell you what, there is plenty of women that are completely capable of working in those shops and doing it for you.
Good.
My battery changed. It was two ladies that were working there.
Yeah.
I'd rather pay a woman to do it.
Well, and there's some men that are really good at sewing. Like, it's not like, I'm
sure.
If you were to take and I'm not advocating for eliminating men. I enjoy it. I think they're fun. Like,
yeah.
I enjoy them.
I enjoy them too.
I enjoy them differently. I think they're funny. You guys think they're attractive. They smell weird. I don't know.
I'm not going to argue that point either. They do smell weird sometimes.
They're terrible. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. How was everyone's wine?
Oh, much, much better the second time around.
Same. Mine's very good. Well, okay. What's everyone obsessed with this week?
Oh, somebody else go first. I think I forgot.
Okay. I took my car into Subaru today because it has been like chugging along, like making a weird chugging sound for quite a while. And I've been like, it's still running fine. Like nothing's really, I didn't want to have to give it up for several days. And I was worried about the cost of just getting it looked at. Cause I'm like, how bad could it be? No check engine lights on, like nothing like that has happened. So I finally bit the bullet and took it in. They gave me a loaner car, which, by the way, the 2018 Subaru Outback, which I know is real gay of me to say, is super fucking nice. Like, if you drift off into a lane, it turns your steering wheel back into the center of where you're supposed to be. Like, I was just doing it to fuck with it today. So, real nice. So, I got a call, and they were like, your transmission shot. And I was like, oh my God, that's going to cost me $1 bazillion.
Yeah.
And they said, but it's still under warranty, so we're going to replace it for free. So,
man,
like,
way to bury the headline.
That's what I said. Way to bury the lead, Tom. Like, yeah. So it's getting fixed for free. So I'm super stoked about it.
That's super exciting.
Yeah. Go Subaru. Our little, Lex calls them the Lesberus because it's real gay.
That everybody calls Subarus.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll tell her she's not original. I'm going to tell her you told her she's not original.
Yep. That's what everybody calls them.
Stacey?
Okay, I'm obsessed with Netflix Christmas movies.
For sure.
Officially. I feel like that's all I want to watch. I just want to live in a world where here's what happens. For some reason, my job, I mean, I know I already live in kind of a small town, but like I'm from a big city and I have to go to a small town and I meet a guy who's very humble, but not down with my city ways. And then like something happens and maybe there's a rock climbing adventure and I'm in some sort of peril. And then like we bond over overcoming that, or I almost fall in, like I try and ice skate on the pond because I don't know any better. And then he
says, is there a pet pig? Because I mean, you just described Hollywood.
I just described every Netflix/Hallmark/Lifetime.
So you want a man to save you. Got it. Okay. Stace, well, what are you
obsessed? Yeah, physically? Yeah, I'm super into that. If I'm in some sort of physical danger and some like nice strong man wants to come along and save me, like that's a great meet cute and I'm super here for it.
We are so confusing to people on this podcast. Women can do all, let's get rid of all the men. But if a man wants to come and save me.
But like I've said, I think that's the frustrating thing about me is I'm super independent and like I am pretty successful and whatever, and I don't need, and I'm like down to like, if I'm in a work situation and I'm like, here's what we're going to do. Let's do this. I'm going to take charge. But like, I want to be taken charge of outside of that.
All right. We don't need details about that. And we didn't say let's get rid of men. We just said we'd survive without them.
She's a 50 Shades fan.
Yeah. Let's calm down, ma'am. Calm down.
I am not digging the Hallmark Christmas movies lately. I like the classics. I like Christmas with the Cranks and Christmas Vacation and Polar Express and the Santa Claus and Four Christmases and the good classics. I'm trying my damnedest because you know how I am about holidays. I'm a crazy person. I am trying really hard to watch these Hallmark movies and like Christmas Chronicles and like the Netflix originals.
That.
I'm trying.
Office Christmas really Party is real lame. Good.
They're so lame.
I know, but some of them, I'm sorry. I feel like Netflix has been killing it lately with the movies. I didn't watch that Christmas Chronicles one because that looks weird.
You're not missing anything.
I gave you my recommendations. That one breakup one I thought was great. I freaking loved Kissing Booth. And To All the Boys I've Loved Before, both super cute.
I really liked To All the Boys I Loved Before. That was really good. Yeah,
super cute. And I'm just, are you watching like full on Lifetime ones? Watch that 12 Men of Christmas one. That one's cute.
That's not free anywhere. You have to buy it. I can't commit to that.
It's worth it. I'll buy it for you.
Okay.
I feel really strongly about that movie.
I set up to record all the classics. So I've got Home Alone and Christmas the Cranks, all those on Freeform set to record. And then I set to record maybe 8, the Lifetime ones that sounded okay. But I am just like left and right disappointed and not feeling it. Sorry.
You can't go into them expecting much.
No. But I want to be at least entertained. Shit.
If I see a title that's like Christmas Prince, I'm like, I know exactly what I'm going to get out of this.
Yeah.
And it delivers.
I don't know.
Can we just take...
I guess if I'm going to watch like one every 3 days, I'm just going to stick to the classics. There's got to be at least 12 classics, right?
For sure.
Fuck it.
Oh, Love Actually.
Right. Elf, Santa Claus.
Oh, The Holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Holiday.
Oh, yeah, that one's set
The Holiday, super cute.
The Family Stone. Yeah.
The Family Stone is great.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I want to live in Christmas. Is that a thing?
So, well, the if Santa you live Claus, in a Hallmark movie.
Did you guys know the Santa Claus? He was supposed to die. Santa was supposed to die at the very beginning when he falls off the roof. Disney was like, that's too dark. We can't have that happen.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. He wasn't supposed to fall off the roof. Tim Allen's character was supposed to shoot him for trespassing.
Oh, okay. Well, that's totally
that's real fucking American.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Killed him. And Disney was like,
Well, that's it for us this week, guys. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next week.
And all things Christmas.
Yeah. So much Christmas.
We'll find something else to complain about Christmas.
Merry Christmas, not Merry Xmas.
Merry Christmas.
You pagan, you heathen.
Merry Winter Solstice.
Happy Winter Solstice.
Happy Winter Solstice, everyone. Bye.